Well, this morning we start to move into our Advent season as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ. And we're going to transition a little bit from our journey and where we've been in paradise to the promised land as we've walked through Genesis. And really look at, actually, in these next couple of weeks of Advent, well, first of all, births and babies is sort of a theme in our house right now. And we're going to bring that into a little bit into our Advent time as we look at births in the Bible that foretell and prepare us for the coming of Christ. And this morning, we transition from what would be our next section as we continue through Genesis. And that is the birth of Isaac. God's provision of this blessing that we've been talking about for so long, these last couple of weeks. The provision at the perfect time of Isaac. And then also this morning, we're going to look at God's provision at a perfect time that comes in a little bit of a darker situation with a sacrifice that God provides at a perfect time. And both of these relate, of course, to the provision that came on that Christmas morning so many years ago, the birth of Christ. I'll just mention that there's going to be no of the Sunday to Sunday devotional emails for the time that we're going through the Advent. Just each week we'll have one kind of family reflection question, and you'll see that each week it'll kind of be on the bottom of the outline here as something for your family to think through as far as the Advent message. This morning, as we hit our first Advent and as we walk through the birth of Isaac, why don't you open your scriptures with me to Genesis chapter 21. As we first look at this blessing from the Lord finally coming to Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 21, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Before we do that, actually, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time to get together to read your word. Lord, to think already of Advent, to celebrate the coming and the giving of your Son to us as the perfect sacrifice at the perfect time. And as we enter into Scripture this morning and we see another provision, the provision of Isaac, at all times it leads our mind to think of Christ. Lord, I pray that we would learn in this message about how to respond to blessings, but also that we would clearly see and be excited to celebrate the coming of Christ. Speak to us further in your word this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham as a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Christmas season is a time of blessing, a time to be blessed, and a time to bless others. And so it's fitting for the first week of Advent that we end up here in Genesis, at the promise that God had given to Abraham finally being fulfilled. The fulfillment of this promise tells us something about God, as well as something about how we as followers of Christ should respond to blessings. Our story this morning begins with this long-awaited, anticipated birth of Isaac, the promise that God had given to Abraham so many years before, the covenant that he had established by swearing an oath to himself, by walking through those cut-up animals and saying, "I will take care of it." It's finally been fulfilled. In fact, three times in the first two verses of chapter 21, and you can look with me if you want, we are reminded that God is faithful to his promises. And he's faithful to his promises. If you look through at verse 1, it clearly says, "as he said." And then right afterwards, it reminds that this was as he had promised. Then in verse 2, it says, "at the time that God had spoken." It's all meant to highlight the fact that God is not slow in bringing about the things that he promises us. He's always faithful to his promises. And he brings them about at the exact right time. And so as we've journeyed through the life of Abraham these past 3 weeks, we're very aware of the fact that Abraham and Sarah became pretty impatient. It was clearly hard for them to accept that their time was not God's time. You know, and even last week, we witnessed their major struggles of waiting on the Lord, even going so far in their impatience as to try to subvert God's plan and make an heir for themselves out of their own way or the world's way. So I think it's an important reminder for us this morning that God does make us wait sometimes. As hard as it may be, that we can't grow anxious or impatient, because God will always be faithful to his promises. And he brings them about in his timing, not necessarily our timing. We also see here that often the blessings that God brings come unexpectedly. Maybe it's even more accurate to say that they come in unexpected ways. So Sarah was something like 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. 90 years old. Now, I know that we think of the Old Testament, we think, well, these are different times, people lived a lot longer. That's true. But by the time of Abraham, we start to see ages are sort of getting back to the baseline of what we see today. So Sarah lived 125 years. It's not like the days of Methuselah where people were living 969 years and things. These are getting closer to our time periods. Yet she was 90 years old when she gave birth. I mean, we kind of walked through this, and you know, doctors now recommend that you don't, you know, that 35 is sort of the magic age to have your first child, is at least what's sort of recommended by our health professions and things. She was 90 years old. Either way, you know, and there's even a few cases of people giving birth into their 50s, natural birth, but this would be exceedingly unexpected. This is a very extreme case, and it's supposed to be. And we even saw this last week as the response when God says, "Sarah's going to have a child to you when you're 100, is that we saw both of them laugh at God because of that. It signified that Abraham and Sarah did not expect God to come through in the way that he did. And I think it's an important takeaway for us this morning that oftentimes God's blessings come in unexpected ways. And they come in unexpected times. No matter what the odds are that seem to be against us, we can always know, first of all, that God will fulfill His promises. That they will always come at just the right time, not necessarily our time. And that many times they're going to come in unexpected ways, not the way that we would foresee them coming. Another thing that I think we must notice from the short narrative on the birth of Isaac is the response by his parents. When we receive a blessing from the Lord, there are certainly many ways that we can respond. Okay, so we're getting into the time when we're giving a lot of gifts. I'm sure you feel this way as well, but for me, if you're giving a gift, sort of the best thing about it is watching the response of people when they open the presents. In some ways, it's almost more fun than getting a gift is giving a really good gift and then watching the way that a child responds or a loved one responds to opening and receiving that gift. You guys with me on that? The response that you feel, right? There's a lot of ways that we can respond to God giving us a gift. But I would assert to you this morning that Abraham and Sarah show us how we should respond when God gives us a gift. Look with me in your Bibles at verses 3 and 4. We just read them, but you know, cruise your eyes over to those verses again. The first act that we see from Abraham and Sarah regarding the birth of Isaac is obedience to the commands of the Lord. They respond with obedience. First, they name their son Isaac, just as God had commanded a year earlier. Secondly, he circumcised him on the eighth day, the mark of God's covenantal promise, performed exactly as God had prescribed in chapter 17. They respond with obedience, and they respond with great joy. With great joy. Look then at verses 6 and 7. Depending on the translation in the Hebrew, it says something like, God has caused me to laugh, and now everyone who hears it will laugh along with me. And so we have this sort of exuberance from Sarah that talks about contagious laughter. Have you guys experienced contagious laughter before? You know, that there's someone starts laughing and then everyone else just kind of starts laughing as well. Maybe this even happens at times when it's not supposed to. Like, you're in a class or a church service and you're not supposed to be laughing, but someone sort of starts laughing and then the next person next to you, you're trying to hold it in. Sarah is talking about contagious laughter, that when she starts laughing, because she's so excited and exuberant over the birth of Isaac, that those around her just become happy. Contagious laughter. The same thing is somewhat happening to us, because just in the last week and a half, aren't you glad you get to walk through all these development stages with me, right? But so, not with me, with myself. So Miles has been smiling for a while, but just in the last week and a half, he started to actually laugh, like a guttural kind of laugh. And he doesn't do it all the time, but at different times, especially at night, we can get him to just start laughing. And it's just a family event. Like, you have to come around and gather around, and then we're all just laughing at this. It's this contagious laughter. I think we've all experienced this to different degrees. That's the laughter that's talked about at the end of this birth narrative of Isaac. And if you remember back to last week, the laughter that had that incredulous, mocking tone only a year ago, right? Where both Abraham and Sarah heard that they were supposed to have a son, and they both laughed at God. Sort of like, "This, there's no way this is going to happen." It's now turned to outbursts of great joy, exuberance, contagious laughter. And I'll say, even on a side note, what a cool twist. That Isaac's name, he laughs. We saw that last week, and God says, "You're going to name this kid, he laughs." And you kind of thought, well, this is a rebuke from the Lord, because both Abraham and both and Sarah laughed at God when he prophesied that they were going to have this son. But now we see that Isaac isn't going to be remembered because of his parents' disbelief, but is going to be remembered for the joy that he brings to the people that are around him, this contagious laughter. It's a great story how God can change our failures into something beautiful. But this Christmas season, we need to remember that there's many ways that we can respond to blessings from the Lord. But the way we should respond is with obedience and joy. Obedience and joy. God's provision of an heir at a perfect time. Chapter 21. But then we walk into chapter 22. And we're faced with an unexpected twist in the great blessing of Isaac's birth. It would seem logical that Abraham's testing would be over at this point. He's waited so long. Finally, God had given him this blessing that he was waiting for. And I think normally we would think, well, that's probably the end of the story. That's end of the testing. But in actuality, we see that Abraham is now faced with his greatest test. That the biggest test of his faith was not going to come before the promise was fulfilled, but after. After he was born. After he was named, after he was circumcised and weaned. He probably was a teenager by this age that we get to in chapter 22. He certainly would have already developed a strong relationship with his parents. He would have a bond of trust and love that his parents were there to protect him and take care of him. Certainly by this time he would have heard about the promised covenant that was going to go through him. Remember, he had the mark of the covenant on his body. Abraham certainly would have told his son about the way God was going to bless their family. And so he would be filled with great expectation of what that was going to mean. Yet we see this dark, seemingly dark command from the Lord. And I think in some respects, we don't get the full weight of this story because we've heard it so many times and we know what's going to happen. But folks, as we read this together in chapter 22, enter into this story a little bit. Take a look over, if you have children, take a look over at your firstborn child and think of them in that place as a scared but trusting, probably teenage individual. Turn with me to Genesis 22. We're going to read the first 14 verses together. And enter into this story, this unthinkable asking from Abraham. Verse 1 and 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, now let me just mention too, God didn't say, "Hey Abraham, I'm going to test you." As he walks through this, Abraham doesn't know that this is a test. He just knows God saying, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offerings and arose and went to the place in which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they both of them together. And Isaac said, his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together, where they came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built the altar and there laid the wood in order to bind Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God asks Abraham an unthinkable thing. Something that is even more unexpected and more improbable than the manner in which Isaac was born. God asks him to give up, to sacrifice his son. God asks him to give up something that Abraham knew for a fact that God wanted him to have. Think about that for a second. God didn't ask him to give up a bad thing or a neutral thing, but something Abraham knew God wanted him to have and even promised that he could have. God asked him to give up something that Abraham knew for a fact God meant for him to have. And it reminds us that, and this is a hard message for some to hear and accept, but it reminds us that there is no limit on what God can and may ask of his followers. I mean, this example is extreme, but it's extreme for a reason. It's a truth of revealed scripture that God will ask us to make difficult choices in our life, to prioritize his commands and our relationship with him over the comforts of this world. There is no limit on what he might ask of us. And though we learn as we walk through this story that God will always provide a greater way and a greater reward for those who choose to obey, it does not eliminate the fact that God sometimes makes us take hard choices. And he may ask hard things of his followers. Scan your eyes to verse 3 for a second. Just read those words. says, after getting this command that Abraham got up early, he rose early. I've mentioned this a couple different times throughout my time here, is that I still carry around, or I still have my Bible from college, okay? Really the first Bible that I carried around after becoming a believer. And I've read through, I mean, it's in pretty bad shape. It's got a VeggieTale sticker right there in the front. One of the things that I would do, as I was never afraid to write in the margins and write in my Bibles. This does not have very big margins, by the way. But to leave little notes, and as I'd read through the Bible and find something that was strange to me, hard to understand, it really spoke to me, so I would mark it. And so one of the things that I love doing now, years and years after, is to sometimes go back and look at some of these areas that I had questions or things that jumped out at me. And right here in verse 3 of 22, I have, you can kind of see it from far, I have early the next morning, circled, starred, and a question mark next to it. And I can still remember just reading through that and being floored. Like, how is it that Abraham doesn't drag his feet on this? Right? We've all had to go and do something maybe that we don't want to do. We're required to do something. And typically the way we do that is we're not excited to get up that morning. And we really take our time. And we sort of stall and drag our feet and go into these things. Abraham had just been told explicitly by God that he needed to sacrifice his son. And yet, he arose early in the morning to go and do it. The truth is that throughout this whole story, this imperfect man of faith, and we spent a lot of time on this last week looking at all the mistakes and the imperfections of Abraham. We looked at his fears, his unbelief. Yet throughout this amazing test, he displays perfect trust in the Lord. Verse 3, he gets up early. Verse 5, he tells his travel companions to stay there, and he says, we're both coming back. It's less clear in the English, but it's really clear in the Hebrew that he thinks both of them are coming back together. Verse 7, Isaac is starting to wonder, you know, where is the animal for this sacrifice? Abraham confidently says the Lord himself will supply a lamb. And then in 9 and 10, Abraham binds his son, grabs the knife, and raises it up. And just before he strikes, he's stopped by an angel of the Lord. Essentially, in his heart, Abraham did it. So maybe you've experienced this or done this as parents or something like that, where you say, I'm going to count to three and you have to do this. And maybe you really don't want to do the thing that you just said you were going to count to three for, so maybe the parents go one, two, and then they... 2.5, 2.75, and you're trying to think, what comes after 3/4? Should I go 7/8 or 15/16? You know, but you start like kind of hedging your bet as you go through. That's not what we see here at all. Abraham's basically in the downstroke of murdering his son before he stopped. He pulled the trigger. God stopped him. Abraham shows perfect faith in this situation. Perfect faith from the same man who just two chapters before called his wife his sister because he was afraid. Perfect obedience to the Lord, even though it came at great cost. And the result is, of course, that God provided a better way. He did just as Abraham suggested to his son. God provided the sacrifice himself. And that's where so clearly we can see this story connecting to the message of Christmas. The theme of chapter 22 is that God provides. God provides an heir in chapter 21, but he provides salvation in chapter 22. Salvation for Isaac, but even more, salvation for all of Abraham's seed, all who would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And so the uniting theme of chapters 21 and 22 and the Advent season is one of God's perfect provision at the perfect time. The book of Romans and Galatians, the scriptures link the provision of Isaac to the perfect provision of Jesus Christ. The spotless lamb that came at the perfect time to atone for the sins of the world. As much as this is a story about faith, a story about obedience, the story about a man who made a ton of fearful and faithless errors in his life, this is much more a story about the unique and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. The man who John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is about how God the Father provided Jesus as the perfect Lamb. The perfect sacrifice, not caught in a thicket of thorns like the ram was, but instead wearing a crown of them. In verse 12 of chapter 22, the angel stops Abraham as he's about to kill and says, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me." Yet at the perfect time, God did exactly that. Sacrificing his own son, not withholding himself, so that all who believe in him would receive salvation. The faith of Abraham is attainable. It's found in repentance and placing your faith in the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of Jesus Christ. I just want to read 1 Peter 18 through 21. And I'll read it from my college Bible. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but it was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. So your faith and hope are in God. We start with Isaac, but we end with Christ. The one perfect sacrifice provided at the perfect time. Will you pray with me? Father, again we praise you for your word, the many provisions that you give to us. the blessings that come at the perfect time. Even the great blessing that we take for granted of having your word in our hands. Lord, we pray as we walk into this Christmas season and as you shower us with blessings, that we would be patient in waiting for some of those things that are yet to come. And Lord, when you do give us great things, that we would not be indifferent to them, that we would not respond as though we deserve them, but we would respond with obedience and joy. Lord, help us to trust in you as Abraham did, to be faithful in the midst of difficult tests, and to know that you are going to bring them about perfectly in the end. Help us to learn from the example of Abraham's faith. And Lord, above all, we thank you as we move into the Advent season that though you spared Isaac, that you did not spare your son. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. In him, amen. Thank you, church.